So Lord, thank you for Danny, and we just pray you would speak through him powerfully, and that through your words, Lord, we would be open to greater workings of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will, for permission and the privilege to speak this evening. So today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost is that day in the life of the church where we remember God pouring out his Holy Spirit on his church, the Holy Spirit that gave birth to the church, the Holy Spirit that gave energy to the church, the Holy Spirit that gave power to the first Christians. And we read that account in Acts 2. This evening I've called my message Pentecost, an invitation to life in the Spirit. Because I believe God would extend to each one of us this evening an invitation to live a life increasingly full of the Holy Spirit. And as I've thought this week, and particularly over the past 24 hours, about what does a life look like full of the Holy Spirit, I think that in Angelina, we have the most wonderful example of a woman who lived life full of the Spirit. Her kindness, her generosity, her servant-heartedness, her humility, her whole character, her very self, for me anyway, was a model of what life lived in the Spirit looked like. And I want to have more of God's Spirit in my life, and I hope each one of us does this evening. And tonight we're going to have the opportunity to encounter the Holy Spirit and to be filled with God's Spirit. Tonight, I really want to ask two questions, and they are, who is the Holy Spirit, and what does the Holy Spirit do? What difference does a life full of the Holy Spirit actually make to us today? So who is the Holy Spirit? I wonder how you would answer that question if you were asked. I want to take you back 10 years to when I was an even greater fool and more naive than I am today, if you can imagine that. I was 19 years old, I was a fresh-faced Bible college student, and in a lecture on the New Testament, one of my tutors asked, "How would you explain who the Holy Spirit is to someone who has never heard about this thing we funny Christians call the Holy Spirit?" And I, in a fit of overconfidence, stuck my hand up and I said in front of my tutor and the whole class, "I would say that the Holy Spirit is a lot like the Force in Star Wars." And in my mind, that was the most profound and insightful and theologically rich statement anyone has ever made in the history of Bible college lectures. Much to my humiliation, my tutor, let's just say he disagreed with me, and he proceeded to spend the rest of that lecture explaining how the Holy Spirit is in fact nothing like the Force from Star Wars. So I want to share with you a few thoughts on who the Holy Spirit is that I learned the hard way. So when I learned about this, I was being humbled in front of all my peers. So firstly, the Holy Spirit is a he, not an it. In Star Wars, this thing, the Force, is this sort of ethereal, mysterious, mystical thing that sort of floats around the universe. But God's Spirit is not like that. God's Holy Spirit is a person. And that's really important for us to grasp tonight, because you can have a relationship with a person, but you cannot have a relationship with an it. And so I want to ask us tonight, where are we at in our relationship with God through his Holy Spirit? Are we open to receiving more of God's Spirit in our life? The Holy Spirit is a he, and we can have a relationship with him. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is God and unrivaled. In Star Wars, if any of you are into the films, forgive me if you're not, stay with me anyway. It's really just a means through which I can talk about the Holy Spirit, hopefully, without losing you. The Force in Star Wars, there's the light side of the Force, the goodies, and there's the dark side of the Force, the baddies. And the idea you get in Star Wars is that it's a 50-50 evenly matched contest between the powers of good and the powers of evil. There's the light side of the force, the dark side of the force, and it's a real battle, and we do not know who's going to win. But I want to say to us tonight, church, that that is not what it's like with the God that we worship. God, the Holy Spirit, is unmatched and unrivaled in power and might and majesty. We in the world today are not locked in a 50-50 battle between the forces of good and evil. And I don't know about you, but I find that difficult sometimes to hold on to when I look at the news, when I read about the events around the world and in the last week or two, a lot closer to home. It can feel like we're hanging on a knife edge, as it were, and it could go either way. But I want to say, in God and in Jesus Christ, we have the victory. That Jesus Christ, through his death and his resurrection, has overcome and defeated the power of sin, death, and the devil. And you'll have heard this illustration probably 100 times if you've been knocking around church for long enough. But we live in the gap between D-Day and VE-Day. The battle is won and we're in the clearing up operation. And we as the church get to play a part in that. One day, Jesus Christ is going to return, consummate his kingdom. He's going to wipe away every tear from every eye. He's going to establish his reign of justice and righteousness, and the lion will lay down with the lamb. That is the hope that we have as God's church. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit is free and uncontrollable. So if you're familiar with the Star Wars films, I hope at least some of you are, the Jedi, they spend a heck of a lot of time working very hard and training to gain control over the Force so they can use the Force to their purposes and for their ends. But the Holy Spirit is not like that. The Holy Spirit is radically free. The Holy Spirit is already at work in the world. The Holy Spirit is already at work in lives of people you wouldn't ever dream that he's at work in. And it's our job as the church to learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, to recognize the Holy Spirit's work and activity in the world, and to join in with what God is doing, and to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a tool for our ends. When we do ministry, we're not commanding the Holy Spirit to do anything. We're trying to listen to the Holy Spirit and cooperate with what he is doing and let the Holy Spirit lead the way. Fourthly, the Holy Spirit is God's free gift to the whole church, not a select chosen few. And that is really good news. Again, Star Wars, it seems like there are only a very few number of people that have the potential or the capacity to ever master the Force and become Jedi Knights. But it's really not like that for us as followers of Jesus as we seek to live a life full of the Holy Spirit. At Pentecost, we are reminded that God pours his Holy Spirit out on his whole church. There are no qualifications required, and you don't have to be one of the select chosen few. A life full of the Holy Spirit is available to each one of us this evening. And so you can, I hope, imagine my pain as I learnt those lessons the hard way in that class, with everyone thinking, boy, Danny, that was a big mistake to offer that illustration, wasn't it? So we've thought a little bit about who the Holy Spirit is. I want us now to read the account of God sending the Holy Spirit on the church in Pentecost, and then I want us to think a little bit about what the Holy Spirit does. So if you've got a Bible and you want to follow along, or you're on an app or whatever you're using, we're going to be in Acts 2, and we're going to miss out a few verses, or else it would be a very, very long but wonderful reading. So we're starting at Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And so I want us to think about what we can learn from this, the account of Pentecost and the rest of the New Testament, about what the Holy Spirit does, the difference that the Holy Spirit can make in our lives. And I believe that these things are going to open up a space and an opportunity for us later on in the service to respond to God in different ways. So maybe have an open heart and mind to what the Spirit wants to do in you tonight. So firstly, these are all going to begin with C, by the way, to help you remember and follow when you're trying to think, what on earth was Danny talking about tomorrow? So firstly, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit was Christ's closest companion throughout his life and ministry. The Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the prophets to look ahead to the future when God was going to send Jesus, the Messiah, to the world. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. At the baptism of Jesus, Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit descends on him in the form of a dove. It's the Holy Spirit that leads Jesus to the cross. And it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that God raises Jesus from the dead. So I want to suggest that if Jesus Christ needed the Holy Spirit to fulfill his calling and purposes in life, to live the life he lived, then I want to suggest, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit? Jesus Christ, ministering out of his humanity, he needed and depended and relied on the power of the Holy Spirit at work in and through him. And just thinking about that makes me hungry for more of the Holy Spirit, because I want to live a life more like the life of Jesus. And so I wonder for us tonight, how hungry are we to receive more of the Holy Spirit so that we would be empowered by God to live the lives that Jesus has called each one of us to, ministering the gospel in this place, in this community, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of comfort. And this, I really feel, may be God's word for us here in Buckingham as God's church today. Jesus says this in John 14, verse 26. He's speaking to his disciples and he's preparing them for his imminent death and resurrection. He says this. Jesus says, "But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." The Holy Spirit is the great comforter. I think we as a nation need to hear this word. None of us will have been unaffected and unmoved by the tragic events in Manchester recently and even last night in London. I think there is a sense of fear and uncertainty about the world in which we live in that I certainly have never felt or experienced before. And I feel like God would say to us tonight that he wants to be our comforter as we grieve and we mourn and we share in the sufferings of those people in our nation that have been so affected by what has been going on recently. And even closer to home, as we have learnt today of the tragic passing of our dear sister in Christ, Angelina. Many of us are brokenhearted. Many of us are in pain. Many of us are mourning the death of Angelina. And it hurts. And I just have a real sense that as a church family in our pain tonight, God by his Holy Spirit wants to be our comforter. And I know that many of us, and one of the great privileges of doing what Will and I do, is that you guys share your lives with us. We ask you, how are you doing? And you actually answer that question. And I know that many of you, through speaking to you, have all sorts of different challenges and difficulties and pains that you are working through in your life. And I believe that for you tonight, as God pours out his Holy Spirit on his church, he may want to bring you comfort in whatever situations or messes that you find yourself in life. So God, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of comfort. The Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of confidence. Acts 2:14 says this, "Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd." In and amongst the huge crowd and the chaos that was Pentecost, Peter is filled by the Holy Spirit and given the confidence and the courage to stand up and to proclaim the gospel. Peter, don't forget, was only recently, only a couple of years earlier, just a humble fisherman out on the boat with his nets before Jesus Christ met with him and said, "Come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people." That's the Peter that now is so filled with the Spirit that he has the confidence in Christ, in the power of the Spirit, to stand up and talk about who Jesus is and the power of his death and resurrection. The truth that through placing your trust in Jesus' death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and in his resurrection, that we can, each one of us, enjoy eternal life and life lived in relationship with our Heavenly Father who loves each one of us. And I feel like the Lord might be saying to us as his church tonight that he wants to pour out a spirit of confidence on us in the gospel. A couple of weeks ago, we had the Love Buckingham Mission Weekend that I hope you remember. Wonderful weekend. We got to welcome, I think, hundreds of people that don't normally have anything to do with church into church for all sorts of different events around Buckingham and here. And I really want to just highlight one hero and embarrass him mightily before the whole church, who I think was really inspired me, and that is Brian Roskell. Brian, when I asked people to invite other men to the curry night, the men's curry night, Brian put up on Facebook an open invite to any guys he knew that would want to come to the curry night. If that doesn't earn you instant hero status in the world in which we live in, I don't know what does. Do you know what? No one actually came with Brian to the curry night. But that is not the point. Seriously, that is not the point. The point is that Brian actually had the confidence in the gospel, confidence in what God can do and how important it is to step out of his comfort zone to invite people to have the opportunity to hear about the good news of Jesus, that he actually gave up a Facebook status to do that. And I want more confidence like that, to really stand up in front of the crowds and talk about who Jesus is and the difference he makes. So, Brian, I can't see you, but you are a hero and a legend in my eyes, wherever you are. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of comfort, the Spirit of confidence. He's also the Spirit of conviction. Jesus says this in John 16:13. "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to convict us. And that doesn't mean fill us with shame and guilt and make us feel really bad. But it is to prompt us in our deepest, innermost being that something is not right with us. Perhaps we've messed up in some way and we are in need of a Saviour, that we need Jesus. And I just think that maybe for one or two of us here tonight, for the first time, the Holy Spirit might give you a little prompt that says, "You need a Saviour, you need Jesus." And if that's you tonight, I really encourage you to welcome Jesus into your life. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, of comfort, confidence, conviction. And I think my final C will be Christ-likeness. I want to say that God loves you just as you are, but he loves you far too much to leave you that way. God loves you just as you are, but he loves you way too much to leave you that way. That's the good news of the gospel. One of the big roles of the Holy Spirit, one of the big things that the Holy Spirit does, is he works in us gradually and slowly, painfully slowly, if you're me or you ask Alison about me, works painfully slowly in our lives to make us more and more like the person of Jesus. Because that's the goal of the Christian life. That's the goal of discipleship, is to become more and more like Jesus. And we can only do that if we welcome the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, as day by day, little bit by little bit, we grow more and more like Jesus. That's what discipleship is. So I wonder for us tonight, are there any ways in which we want to grow more like Jesus? And if there's no way you need to grow more like Jesus, please come and share your secret with me. But I wonder tonight if the Holy Spirit might prompt you again about some sort of maybe a destructive pattern of behavior in your life that Jesus might want to free you from, that Jesus by his Spirit might want to make you a little bit more like Jesus. And I want to just close with this final C as we gather around the Lord's table in a moment and we share in communion. My final C is this: the Holy Spirit is the spirit of concord, because unity doesn't begin with a C. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of concord. The Holy Spirit brings unity. And on the day of Pentecost, there are people gathered from all sorts of different nations, all sorts of different cultures throughout the Roman Empire. And it's as the Holy Spirit falls on them that they speak in tongues, they speak in one tongue, and each person hears what is being said in their language, that a great sense of unity is brought to these people that otherwise would have nothing to do with each other. And that is a picture of what the Holy Spirit does in his church. That's a picture of what we are here in Buckingham. We're a bunch of different people from different backgrounds, maybe different cultures, different nationalities, different languages, whatever it may be. But what unites us is the work of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as we gather around the Lord's table, let's just rejoice in the fact that God has poured out his Spirit on us and that we are one body, that we are the body of Christ, broken and sent out into the world to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. That sound good? Yeah. Amen. Let me just pray for us, and then Will is going to lead us into communion and the rest of our service. Father God, thank you for your love for us. Father, we thank you that you have poured out your Holy Spirit on your church. And Holy Spirit, we say you are welcome here tonight. We say, come Holy Spirit, have your way amongst us. I pray that as we continue to worship and pray and we gather around your table, that each one of us would have a life-transforming experience and encounter with the Holy Spirit. That you would fill us with your love. That you would fill us with your presence. That you would fill us with your power. So come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.